just be taken. He made that choice for us, but it's not that easy. Amen? God chose to give us, to make us free moral agents. Amen? He chose to give us the opportunity to choose. Amen? And when you think about that, you know, we talk to our kids all the time, and you know, I'm sure just like me, you, many of you that have kids are always, you know, hey, you know, make good choices. Amen? We're always talking about, you know, just make good choices. You know, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever's around you, whatever you're about, you know, just think about it first and make good choices. Amen? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, right? That's the reality of things. And guess what? Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Amen? So when you're frustrated with them, when you're angry with them, when you're disgusted with them because of a choice they made, just remember that sometimes you do and sometimes you don't also. Amen? Amen. But God has made us that way. He has made us free moral agents. Amen? And in a way, our everyday life is made up of a series of choices. Amen? Some small, some large. Amen? Some carry more weight, have more, more comes with it. Some are small, some are large, however you want to look at it. But our life is made up of a series of choices, and we make so many choices throughout a 24-hour day. Amen? You woke up this morning. You've already made hundreds of choices in the short time you've been up this morning. Amen? First of all, when God opened your eyes, you chose to get out of bed. Amen? And you say, well, that's funny. No, but some people didn't choose to get out of bed. Some people say, you know what? I don't feel like it today. Amen? And they're still in bed. But you chose to get up and get out of bed. Amen? Then you chose, thought about, if you didn't think about it last night, you thought about it when you woke up. What am I going to wear? Right? What am I going to throw together? What am I going to put on so I can go where I got to go, right? And then you thought about, you know, should I eat something before I go or should I just wait till after? Amen? So that's just an example of there's a series of choices that we make. And if you think about it, various internet sources estimate that an adult makes about 35,000 remotely conscious choices or decisions every day. 35,000, that's a lot of choices. Amen? It's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? Amen. Sometimes we don't like that responsibility. Sometimes we choose not to choose, right? Sometimes, you know, it's A or B, and we say, neither, right? I don't want to choose right now. I'm not ready to make that choice right now. Amen? Sometimes we want to choose it all, don't we? All of the above. You know, the Bible puts it very simply for all of us. You know, I set before you this day, life, death, good, evil, right? He sets it right before you, right? And then he says, do you choose? And you would think choices like that are easy. Life or death? I'll live. Good or evil? I'll take good. But you'd be surprised we don't do that. Sometimes we choose the other way. Sometimes we decide not to choose. Amen? Another meaningless thought to share with you is that it says also that in a given day we make over 200 choices just on food in a given day. You ever think about that? It's a lot of choices. If we think about all the choices we have to make as we go through life, there's philosophical choices, there's financial choices, there's vocational choices, there's marital choices, there's familial or family choices, there's political choices. Amen? We have to choose or think about what we want to eat, what we want to buy, what we want to believe, how we're going to vote, what job we're going to pursue. Who will we marry? How many children will we have? What will their names be? How will we spend our time? How will we spend our money? Every choice has one thing in common, and it always carries consequences that are good and bad. Amen? So we have all these choices, and all these choices come with consequences, both good and bad. The essence of liberty, the essence of freedom, is the ability or the opportunity to choose. Amen? Although even the law dictates that we have to make choices that are not only in our best interest, but in the best interest of others. And today, I just want to share with you, we're going to talk about the most important choice that every person has to make, because this is a spiritual choice that has eternal consequences. Amen? And it's because of something that Jesus said in his last words that he ever spoke. And these words illustrate what I believe is the things that we need to, the most important choices that we have to make. Now, before we get there, let's go to Luke 23, and we're going to pick it up at the 32nd verse of the 23rd chapter of Luke, the 32nd verse. And it says, "And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then one said to Jesus, then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Somebody say, thank God for that verse right there. Amen. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now you got to understand what's going on. Let me refresh your memory. This is what's happening right now. They're about to crucify Jesus. Amen? He's been dragging the cross, all right? They've got him to the place. They've ridiculed him. They've beaten him. They've done everything possible to him. He's almost unrecognizable. That's how bad he's been beaten. Amen? They've made fun of him. They mocked him, all right? And as he is nailed there to the cross, now granted, a man that knew no sin. Amen? An innocent man. A man who never made the wrong choice. Amen? He's there with his arms stretched out wide, not just little nails. I mean, you know, the ones that, the big giant ones are nailed through his hands, right? He's bleeding. He's got practically no life left in his body. He's taking his last breath. And in that moment, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Let that sink in for a minute, because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loved them. Amen? I mean, they just did everything possible to humiliate him, everything possible. And as he's taking his last breath, He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about me and he's thinking about you. And he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers with them derided him, saying, ah, he saved others, let him save himself. Right? Now they're making fun of him. Come on, tough guy. Come on. You know, savior, you saved everybody else, save yourself. Amen? That's the way they're talking to him. If he be Christ, the chosen God, he ought to be able to save himself. 36 says, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Amen? We think we're thirsty sometimes in life, me and you. Amen? Sometimes we say, I'm so thirsty. You don't know what thirst is compared to what he was in this situation. He would have done anything for just a drop of water. And they gave him vinegar. Amen? They gave him vinegar. And saying, they said to him, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, if you are who you say you are, save yourself. And it says in 38, and a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, saying, this is the king of the Jews. Now remember, there's two guys on both sides of him, right? Criminals, ones that deserve to be there, amen? They are suffering the consequences of the choices they made, the bad choices they made, and they deserve to be on both sides of him, amen? They deserve what they have coming to them. And one of them that was hanging there railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and save us. But the other one, answering, rebuked the other guy who was talking like that, saying, do you not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. He's basically saying to the other guy, do you know who you're talking to? Do you realize what you're saying right now? We deserve to be here. We've done the deed. We've done the crime. We deserve. This guy who's hanging here with us, getting the same thing that we're getting, and even worse, he don't even deserve to be here. He didn't do anything wrong. And he said unto Jesus, this guy who was talking to the, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. All he says, that's all he asked. He said, Lord, just remember me. That's all. I don't deserve anything better, but Lord, just remember me. And again, Jesus, breathing his last breath, with blood and fluid and everything coming out of him and just, you know, practically lifeless but full of life, is not thinking about himself and hears the request of this man and says to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. You talk about a good God. What a good God we serve. Amen? That's why I say when we really get down to it, I can understand why David would say, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough. Amen? When we really get down to it, when we really understand how much God loves us, amen? All right, I'm going to do something right now. I'm just thinking about it. I need five people real quick to just come up here real quick. Five. I'll pick you out if you don't want to come, but just come up. I just need five. Yeah, I'm serious. I just need five. Line up right here for a second. I just want to, you know, sometimes we just need to have a visual. Amen? We're visual learners sometimes, right? Amen. I just want to show you. I want you to see how God works, okay? All right, come on, line up across. I don't care who's doing what, but line up across. See, they can't even choose. They can't even make a choice right now. See what's happening? See how we're going? All right, you ready? All right, line up. Okay, Jesus is talking to these people, right? Jesus is talking to these people, and he says, your name, sir?
Fred.
Fred? Fred, how you living?
How am I living?
Yeah.
Not the best.
No?
No. Spend way too much time in front of the TV.
Hmm.
And not doing what my wife thinks I should be doing.
Hmm. That's not too good, is it?
No.
No. It's hard to spend time in my presence and thinking about what I would like for you to do when you're in front of that TV, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Probably doesn't make the wife too happy when
you're happy.
Actually, it's kind of selfish of you, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Fred, you know what? I want you to come with me. Come on. I want you to be on my team, all right?
Okay.
Yeah. What's your name?
Sally.
Hi, yep. Sally.
Hi.
Sally, how you living lately?
Better than I was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
Well, I've been on a road where I've been getting up every morning reading my scripture and praying for people that I find it very difficult to pray for. I started a prayer book, and I even write in my prayer book, Lord, this person is hard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I didn't make that up. It's true.
Pretty impressive, yeah?
Yeah.
God bless you, Sister Sally.
You too.
God bless you. Your name?
Paulette.
You can go wherever you want to go, Sally. Yeah.
Paulette.
Paulette, how you living, Paulette?
I think I'm living good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I sneak down to the bar every so often, have a drink. No big deal. And I think about things that I should be doing, but I figure I have lots of time to live. So, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got lots of time?
Yeah, lots of time.
That's a good way to think about life, you know? Hey. Yeah.
I hang out with the wrong people, but they're okay.
Yeah.
Don't bother me, I'm about them.
You're nice to them, right? Yeah.
Nice to them, they're nice to me. When they're not nice to me, I go find another crowd of people.
Yeah? God bless you, Sister Paula.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm well.
What's your name?
Janice,
how you living?
Oh, I'm living good.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh.
You living good?
Oh, I'm living good.
Yeah? Yeah, they must have been some nice shoes, $1,000, yeah.
Yeah, and then I thought, I can't give you shoes until I have a purse to go with it.
Yeah.
And so I just got this purse over here, and purse, and I do that all the time.
Yeah?
And then, yes. And what? Then, then I set up a lot and hang with my family for a little while, too. So
yeah?
I'm living good.
You sound pretty happy.
I'm happy.
Yeah? God bless you. All right. Brother Brian, how you living?
I'm not entirely proud of the way I live.
No?
Yeah, this guy in a Volvo just came and cut me right off. Like,
yeah.
I was trying to get on 690. And, you know, maybe some of my sign language wasn't the most appropriate.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, I like to... You know, I really like to work out, like to go to the gym, but yeah, I mean, some of the girls there, you know, sometimes I, you know.
Get your attention?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good. So, come on, I want you to be on my team. I want you to be over here. I want you to be over here. Yeah. This is what God does. Amen? A little funny, but he chooses you. Amen? And he doesn't choose you based on your resume. Amen. You guys can be seated. He doesn't choose you based on your resume. He chooses you because he loves you. Amen. And many times we think about, you know, you hear people say, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, I've been doing, you know, they start building in, you know, basically, you know, okay, so if you're doing it for the right reasons, if your motive is right, praise God. Amen? But if you're doing it to impress somebody or to impress yourself or to brag about it, then God bless you. You got your, that's however you feel about it, great. But when we're, you know, when we're real with God and we share, you know, you look at this one guy who said he realized who he was. He realized what he deserved. And all he said was, Lord, remember me in paradise. Amen? And the type of God, the God that we serve, he, you know, doesn't it feel good to be chosen? Have you ever not been chosen? How's that feel? Amen? I mean, I can relate it from the guy's side, you know, like when we were younger and we were, you know, we would go to the court and there'd be, you know, there'd be more than 10 guys to play, so we got to pick teams and, you know, and there usually two guys, I'm a captain, they're looking around who they're going to choose, and you're sitting there saying, man, I hope somebody chooses me because it's going to be awfully embarrassing if I got to, you know, there's 12 guys and we pick 10 and I'm the one sitting out on the side, right? They don't want you? Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not a good feeling, right? So, but how does that make you feel when someone chooses you? I want you. Me? Yeah, you. I choose you. And that's what God did for us. Amen? He chose us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm trying to get you to understand the magnitude of the fact that who we are and what we've done, you know, Jesus came for the sinner. He didn't come for the sinless. Amen? If you think you got it all together, if you think you're, you know, if you think you got it going on and you don't need nobody's help and you don't need God, then God's going to say, okay, like Sister Camille. Amen? He's not going to give up like Sister Camille. He's gonna keep knocking on that door. Amen. Thank God Sister Camille's not God. Amen. Or we'd all be in trouble. Amen. Because he knocked on my door for quite a while before I answered. Amen. He invited me for quite a while before I chose to come in. Amen. So thank God we serve a God that's long suffering. Amen. Because most of us, when we finally said yes, when we finally answered the door, when we finally answered the invite, we had one regret, and it was, man, why didn't I do this sooner? Amen? But thank God we serve a God that's long-suffering. So it's another day, it's another Friday in Jerusalem. The smell of death is in the air outside the city walls, just north of the Damascus Gate. It might have been called Execution Square. Three crosses stand behind the highway. Crucifixion, in and of itself, was not unusual in this time. But it was this day because the most unusual man who ever lived was being crucified. Amen? What is interesting is that this man named Jesus was being crucified between two thieves. Nobody knows who arranged for that to happen or how it happened, except it is a fulfillment of Scripture. Because the prophet Isaiah predicted the Messiah would be crucified with what he called malefactors. It would probably add insult to injury because he did claim to be God's own son. But today we are not going to focus so much on the man in the middle as we are going to focus on the thieves on both sides, and one in particular. In this story, one of the most important things you must have is to understand is to make sure that you make the right choice. Amen? To make sure that you make the right choice. Two men died on either side of Jesus on that Good Friday. One made the wrong choice and will be separated from God forever. One made the right choice and is with God right now. Amen? You should be thinking about making the right choice. And when you make that right choice, you have to do exactly the same thing that this thief did. If you're going to ensure that you're ready before you die. And the first thing that this thief did was he recognized personal guilt. That's really hard for us to admit sometimes, because we always like to cover our guilt up. We always like to talk better about ourselves than we actually are. Amen? We always like, I want you to only see the good part of me. I want you to think well of me. Amen? I want you to say good things about me. So I'm not going to let you know that I'm a sinner, that I've done this and I've done that. I'm not going to share that with you. I'm not going to the grace group. I'm not going to tell everybody what I've been doing. That's not what I'm doing. That's what we like to do, right? Invite me to church. I'll put a nice suit on. I'll put a smile on, and you'll think real good of me. But don't invite me to testify or say anything real. Amen? But one of the first steps in making the right choice is recognizing your guilt, recognizing that, you know what, I'm undone. When it really comes to it, I'm what the Bible says. I'm filthy. Amen? I've fallen short. Amen? I'm not where I need to be. Amen? I try to do good. My intentions are good, but many times I make wrong choices. Many times I fall short. Many times I do the wrong thing because I always allow my flesh to control me. I know the Bible tells me to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, but it feels so much better when I walk after the flesh until I have to deal with the consequences of walking after the flesh. Amen? I walk after the flesh because it feels good. And in the moment, it feels, this is what I want to do. But afterwards, I say, why did I do that? Amen? But you ask me how I'm doing, and that's great. You know, I often wonder, why do we even ask people how they're doing it? Because none of us tell the truth. Amen? None of us tell the truth. How you doing today? I'm just great. How's things going? Great. Everything's great. Great. Never been better. Lying. Lying. What if we told the truth when someone asked us that question? You say, like that? Like that movie, you can't handle the truth. Amen? Don't ask me to, you know, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. Amen? You can't handle the truth. So we need to recognize personal guilt. Something unusual happened at this crucifixion. Most of the time, you were just struggling to survive, struggling to breathe, to bear the excruciating pain that you were under. But these two thieves began a dialogue. And it begins with one of them hurling insults at Jesus. One of the criminals who's hung there beside him says, aren't you the Messiah? If you're so good, if you're the person that you say you are, save yourself and save us. The word for hurl, insults, is a word that gives us blasphemy. He was doing more than insulting Jesus. He was using every profane, vile word in the book. He was, as we like to say, cussing him out. His language was X-rated. Why he was taking out his punishment on Jesus is entirely a different conversation. But at that point, the other man had heard enough and gave his response. The other criminal rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. We deserve to be up here, but this man has done nothing wrong. Please understand that neither of these men were good guys. Far from it. Amen? They were called thieves. They were called robbers. They were called malefactors, bandits, rebels, criminals. Normally, they are just referred to as thieves, but they were far more than thieves. In fact, Luke uses a word that was used for professional criminals and members of the underworld. In other words, these men were like mafia men. They were hoods, they were thugs, they were terrorists, assassins, cutthroat killers. They were not guilty of misdemeanors, but they were worse than that. These were some bad guys up there. They would kill you for fun or kill you for profit, or sometimes both. The Roman government didn't crucify people for simple thievery. Whatever these men had done, they were certainly guilty of the death penalty. Most likely, the one crime they committed that tipped the scale was they were what they called insurrectionists. They had committed the ultimate no-no. They had rebelled against the Roman government. Amen? This is where we come in, because when we look at those thieves being crucified with Jesus, we don't just need to see them, but we need to see us. We need to see us. And you might say, wait a second, of course, we go right into defense mode, right? I never killed nobody. I never did this. I never did that. You know, maybe I've told a lie every once in a while. Maybe I've, you know, fornicated. Maybe I've, you know, eaten too much, but I've never really hurt anybody. You can't put me in the same, yes, same sentence. Amen? Same consequence. Same consequence. These men are not just dying for a crime, they're dying in sin. They were rebels against the government, and that's what got them crucified, but they were also rebels against God, and that is why they are dying. That is exactly what one criminal recognizes. He asked the question, don't you fear God? And you might say, what does God have to do with all of this? We may not all be guilty of a worldly crime, but we are all guilty of the spiritual crime of rebelling against God and rejecting His Son. Amen? And that's why I say all the time that people aren't going to hell today for what they do. They're going for what they don't do. Amen? If you don't recognize Jesus Christ for who He is, amen? And it's not easy, and that's why I say I wish sometimes that He wouldn't have given us this choice. I wish sometimes that He would have just done it for us, because when you think about it, we live in a hard world. And, you know, you have a lot of different religions, and all of them are pretty convincing. Amen? If we took the best from every religion and brought them your way and they made their case in front of you, you know, some of it would sound like it makes sense. Amen? Like they knew what they were talking about, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe they're right. But the one thing that separates us from everybody else is we're the only ones whose Savior has risen. Amen? Their Savior died just like our Savior died, but ours is the only one that rose 3 days later. The only one that is yet alive. Amen? Don't you fear God, he says. He realizes his guilt. He realizes that he's getting exactly what he deserves. You know, another thing that makes it hard for us today is that we live in a world of no fault. Amen? No fault insurance. We, you know, we're driving, somebody hits us, no fault. What do you mean no fault? Wasn't my fault. Amen? But yet my insurance goes up too, right? No fault. Amen? Automobile accident, no fault. You know, you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, it's not your fault. That's the first thing we want to tell people. It's not your fault. I'm sure there was a good reason why you made the wrong choice. Don't worry, it's not your fault, right? Well, sometimes reality is good for us because reality helps us to get back in line. Amen. Sometimes we need to recognize and realize, guess what? It is my fault. Amen. And not only recognize that it's my fault, but, you know, admit it. You know, that's why the grace group is so powerful. Because you go there and you admit, look, I've come short. It's my fault. Amen. And we don't like to do that, but it's when we do that that God can say, okay, let's work with that. Amen? Because otherwise, we just kind of push it down. We hide it. Amen? We know it's there. We know we struggle with it. But we don't want to recognize it. We don't want to tell nobody. We don't want to deal with it. So we're just going to put it over there for now. And everything's fine for a little while, and then it pops up again. Amen? So we need to recognize our guilt. That's the first right choice. Secondly, we need to request spiritual grace. Just reading Luke's gospel, you wouldn't realize the unbelievable transformation that had taken place in the heart of this criminal. Because Matthew tells us that a little bit earlier, he too was ridiculing and cursing Jesus. He was doing the same thing the rest of the crowd was doing. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. A transformation had turned condemnation into adoration. The criminal is about to become a convert. What happened, you ask? Well, when anyone was crucified, the assumption that everybody had was, this man has done something terribly wrong to suffer this punishment. Yet, this criminal recognizes Jesus is no criminal. In fact, there is a different verdict. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. But he doesn't just recognize Jesus as a sinless man. He recognizes Jesus as a sovereign man and a saving man, which caused him to say to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So think about that. He's gone from blasphemer to believer. He says to Jesus, I am guilty, but you are guiltless. I'm a criminal, but you're a king. I'm hopeless, but you are my only hope. I'm a sinner, but you're a savior. He makes a bold statement here. You're looking at the most amazing example of transformation and salvation that is found in the Bible. He calls Jesus a king. No man in history ever looked less like a king than Jesus did at this moment. Amen? I gave you the picture of what was going on. But think about it. This man, he never saw Jesus walk on water. He didn't see Jesus feed the multitudes. He didn't see Jesus turn water into wine. Yet he asked Jesus to save him when it looks like he is the one that needed saving. Jesus himself was never less believable, but this man believed. This man could believe in Jesus before his resurrection. And some of us can't even believe after his resurrection. But what changed this man's mind? He didn't know anything about the virgin birth. He didn't know anything about the Old Testament prophecy. He wasn't there when Jesus did his miracles. He wasn't there to hear the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't see Jesus heal anybody or raise anybody from the dead. Yet even though it was his last chance to come to Jesus, he came to Jesus at his first chance. What happened? Only one thing happened. He had heard Jesus utter his first words from the cross. He heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And those words pierced his heart and echoed in his ears. And I could imagine he said to himself, only God could forgive others, and only the Son of God could ask God to forgive others for what they are doing to him. And all of a sudden, this word, grace, came alive to this man. Amen? He saw grace in the actions of Jesus. He heard grace in the words of Jesus. He felt grace in the love of Jesus. Though nobody else may have known what they were doing, but this man realized what he was doing. He realized he was dying in his sin, but Jesus was dying for his sin. At that moment, he saw what was really happening. He saw that Jesus took the guilt that we deserve so that we could get the grace that we don't deserve. That's what he saw. Amen. In one simple sentence, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, I'm a criminal, you're a king. I'm getting what I deserve, and you're taking what you don't deserve. You are taking what you don't deserve so that I can get what I'm requesting, your grace. This criminal made the right choice. And because he made the right choice, he received eternal glory. Above the cackle of the crowd, above all the insults that were being thrown, Jesus hears the cry of this criminal and his request. And all this criminal said was, remember me. He knew where he was going. Remember me, Lord. But Jesus goes far above and beyond what this man was asking when he said basically two words. He said, today, paradise. Woo. Now that's a life preserver to a drowning man. Amen? That man hit the jackpot. That man got, you talk about getting the unexpected and the undeserved. Jesus answered him and said, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Not only will I remember you, but you're coming with me. Amen? This man asked for a place on the back of the bus, and Jesus put him in first class. Amen? Jesus gives this man the only thing he needs to know he'll spend eternity with God. He gave him his word. And because of the faith of this man and the grace of Jesus, he's going to live happily ever after. What a day in the life of this thief. Amen. He begins the day crucified on the cross, and he ends the day being carried to a kingdom. In the morning, he's in prison. At noon, he's being punished. And in the evening, he's in paradise. Thank you, Jesus. And we're getting ready to close, but the word paradise comes from a Persian word that means a walled park or an enclosed garden. Whenever a king wanted to really honor someone, he would invite them to walk in his private garden and enjoy the most intimate fellowship. In other words, when Jesus entered into heaven, this man was not going to be trailing behind him. He was going to be right by his side. The phrase that Jesus used means to be with someone in a very personal, intimate way. It means to be in the personal presence of another person right beside them. The reason he was going to receive eternal glory is because he had requested spiritual grace. Remember, the man had nothing to offer Jesus. He had no good works to speak of, no baptismal certificate, no church membership, no offering receipt. He had never been baptized, never took part in the Lord's Supper. There was no ritual he could offer. Never even gone to church, never attended catechism, never been confirmed. There was no religion to offer. And this man had lived a life of crime and rebellion and wickedness. He had no righteousness to offer. He was immediately granted full entrance into the kingdom of heaven with all the rights and privileges that go with that membership. And all it took, well, not all it took, but what it took was the grace of a Savior and the faith of a sinner. Have you ever wondered why there were two crosses on either side of Jesus? Why weren't there six? Why weren't there ten? Have you ever wondered why Jesus was in the center? Why wasn't he on the right or the left? Nothing ever happens by coincidence. These two criminals represent the entire human race. Because the world ultimately is not divided geographically, racially, economically, or even politically. It isn't even separated by good people and bad people. We're all divided by the cross of Jesus. On one side are those who receive Jesus, and on the other side, those who reject him. Those two criminals who were crucified that day had just about everything in common except one thing. At the end of the day, they viewed this man in the middle, and one made the wrong choice, and one made the right choice. Amen. Let us stand. Many times when we take inventory of our own situation, we're not very happy with the results. But thank God that Jesus doesn't judge us based on, I mean, obviously he says, once we come into the knowledge of God, you know, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And his answer is, God forbid. He doesn't want us to continue in sin. He wants us to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And the reason why he gives us that instruction is because if we walk after the Spirit, we'll allow the Holy Spirit that he has gifted us with to work in our life and help us to make good choices. Amen? And once you've made the most important choice, once you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life and you've accepted that gift of salvation that you didn't deserve, once you've made that choice, all the other choices are really for to glorify God, to benefit you, and to benefit others. Amen? So if we follow after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we'll make good choices that will not only bless ourselves and others, but it will glorify God. And when we walk after the flesh and we make bad choices, We hurt ourselves, we hurt others, and we don't glorify God. Amen? So the choices you make from here on out, after you've made the best choice, which is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are for your benefit and for others' benefit and to glorify God. Amen? But thank God that we didn't have to, it's not, the emphasis wasn't on us. Because if it was, none of us are good enough. Amen? That's why I always, and we always, should explain to people that have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they say to you, well, I have to get myself together. I'm not living right now. I got to get some things straightened out first. We need to explain to them that in and of itself, that's impossible for you to do without God. Amen? And you could probably relate to that because you've been trying for how long to get it together? Amen? So we need to explain to them that it's not about them, it's about Him. What you need to do is make the right choice so that He can help you make better choices from here on out. Amen? I don't know if there's someone in here that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but that's the first step. First things first. Amen? That's the first step.